Okay, I am now calling the meeting to order at 8:38 Eastern Time. Mr. Secretary, will you take the roll?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo?
Here.
Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Kamau Harris?
I'm here.
Christina Huggins? R. Paul Martin here. Stephen Meeks?
Here.
Darlene Pagano?
Here.
Myla Reason?
Here.
Minerva Sanders?
Present.
Susan Young?
Present.
Okay, that's 9. You have a quorum. Are there any? Okay, the executive director is here, I was told. So the executive director is here. Are there any other people, probably directors, who are on the call who are not members?
Yeah, Paul, I'm here.
Jim Dingman. Anybody else?
I had requests from Serene Roberts and Donna Carter.
Okay, are either of those people on here now? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Art Paul. I will give the report out from the executive session of March 14th, 2024. The chair said that the committee would go into executive session to consider the WBAI draft fiscal year 24 deficit budget. The topics also are of financial, personnel, and contractual items with having met with the director, Stephanie Wells, and WBAI general manager, Berthold Reimers, or Reimers. I'm sorry if I said that wrong. We need timekeepers. I need a item timekeeper. I'd like to hear from an item timekeeper.
Okay. This Minerva, I'll do that for you, darling.
Okay. For all of us, Minerva, you'll be helping many. And then a person, a speaker timekeeper.
Madam Chair?
Yes, our
Madam
Paul.
Chair. Besides noting that you're doing an end run around the need to approve an agenda, I will also note again that there is no time limit for speakers. And so having a timekeeper for items makes sense, but having a timekeeper for speakers doesn't, since there is no time limit on speakers.
We will have yet another discussion, R. Paul, but I will accede to that. Thank you. Those timings are for items. And so therefore, according to R. Paul's information, those times stand for the items and we will move on. The agenda was sent out this afternoon, not giving you a lot of time to have a chance to see them, but they were out there. It's two separate emails. They came in two bits. And I'm looking for a motion to approve the open portion of the agenda, which is the part we're in now. Do I have...
Madam Chair?
I object.
Who said,
sorry,
Madam Chair? Was that Minerva?
I said, Madam Chair, it's Susan. I was going to ask that you read the agenda for the recording.
And this is Myla. I would like to object to the agenda.
Hold on. First of all, Susan, the agenda is going to be posted on KPFTX immediately, or at least as quickly as R. Paul can do so after the meeting. I can read it, but we're not getting approval just yet. So, Myla, what is your objection?
I would...
Point of order, is the chair making the motion? We need to hear the motion is being presented.
Madam Chair, I was going to move approval of the agenda after it was read. I'll move approval of the agenda. Susan.
I object. This is Myla.
Okay. There we are. Myla objects. Myla, what's your objection?
My objection is that generally when we have a report from our executive director, when Q and A are combined, there is usually insufficient time for the actual Q and A. The report seems to take up the entire time allotted, and then there is insufficient time for Q and A. So I would like to add at least 10 minutes for Q and A.
Point of order, Madam Chair, Susan.
Yes.
I would suggest that what Myla is doing is making a motion to amend the agenda.
And we need to approve it first.
Once it's approved, it takes two-thirds to amend it, doesn't it?
It hasn't been approved yet, Myla.
Okay.
It hasn't been made yet.
Okay.
Somebody needs to read the agenda and say what the agenda is that they want to have approved.
The agenda was sent to everyone, our Paul.
Yes, and I have an amendment, which I will read out. I think it's proper that that it goes on the recording, at least. If we're going to be open to people, we need to be open, which includes the agenda especially.
Our Paul, are you willing to, I'm assuming you are, post the agenda as soon as this meeting is over?
I always do that.
Okay.
Madam, point of order, Madam Chair, I agree with the Secretary. You should read the agenda.
I will do it now, folks.
Okay.
Okay. We have gone through the preliminaries, which was call to order, roll call by the Secretary, report out from the executive session of March 14th, 2024, and we identified our timekeeper. In the business section, number six, agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda. Seven, approve the open session meetings of minutes of May 14th, 2024. We have the executive director's open report and Q&A. For which we've given 10 minutes. There is one motion that I have received. The NFC will give stations and LSC finance committees a standard timeline for completion of the 2025 budget so that the NFC can review those budgets by the meetings of September 9th and September 23rd. 2024, that's 10 minutes. Items to schedule for upcoming NFC agendas in order as needed. A, the National Office Budget, that's of 2024. B, accounting agreement across all stations. C, Central Services Review. And D, should we ever get there, approval process for the Central Services determination. Number 10, explanation on the stream for why we are going into tonight's executive session, 3 minutes, and then the motion to move to the closed portion of the meeting at time certain of 9:35. Now, I understand we have an objection to at least one to the agenda. The first one I heard was Myla. Myla wants to expand the executive director's portion. This is in the open report. I hope you looked at the closed agenda, Myla. But this is the open report, and that is for 10 minutes, and Myla would like to add 10 minutes more. is there any...
May I ask a question, Madam Chair?
Sure.
This is Myla. I think that what I would want to know is how much time the executive director expects to take for her report. And I'm just concerned that we often run out of sufficient time for Q&A. So I would like to bifurcate 8 and have however much time our executive director needs for her open report, and then make sure that there is also time for Q&A.
Can I ask Stephanie Wells how long you think the open portion of your report tonight will comfortably fit?
I will make it as short as I can to allow more time for questions. I don't have an incredible amount to discuss.
All right. This is at this point, Myla, we only need a simple majority to make the change.
Paula for that.
Thank you, Paula. We're next.
Can I just suggest that we make it number 8 for 15 minutes, and if we can accomplish it sooner, then we can move on to number 9.
All right. That motion has been made to increase the time to 15 minutes on item number 8. Is there anyone who wants to...
First of all, Madam Chair? Okay, so we're looking at your 8. And it's Executive Director open report, 10 minutes. So how is this amendment? I have add 10 minutes for Q&A. Is that in addition? Is that it? Or do we want to be more precise in exactly this?
I'm not sure if it is our strong suit.
I kind of amended it. I just want to make sure that there's sufficient time for Q&A. Stephanie said, I think that if we just make number 8 15 minutes altogether, and that will have sufficient time for the Q&A.
So it's to make the executive director's report 15 minutes.
And
including Q&A.
It is written as one point of business, Art Paul.
To include Q&A.
It's already there on the agenda.
Well, yes. Well, so the amendment is to make the executive director's report, including Q&A, 15 minutes.
Yes. And now I'm asking, are there any objections to that extension of time?
What we debate? I have, Madam Chair, may I
go
have the floor?
Ahead.
All right. I propose a substitute motion. And I sent it out to everybody today. And it's very much...
Are you speaking to the motion?
I am making an amendment to the main motion, which I'm allowed to do because it's a substitute. And how it works is I get to make the motion, and then we can deal with Myla's amendment, and then we deal with the substitute. So it's basically the same as a lot of it's the same, but it's a little bit different. I sent it out earlier. One call to order, and of course, since the chair has barged ahead and done a few things, it'll be a little different, I suppose. One, call to order by chair. 2, agenda approval for the open session of the agenda, 5 minutes. Roll call by secretary, 3 minutes. Report out from the executive session of May 14th by the chair, and it has that wordage in there. Identify timekeeper, 2 minutes. Approve open session minutes of May 14th, 2024. Executive director's open report and Q&A. Motion, number 8, motion presented regarding timeline for the FY25 budgets, 10 minutes. 9, items to schedule for upcoming NFC agendas in order as needed, question mark. A, National Office Budget 2024. B, Accounting Agreement Across All Stations. C, Central Services Review. D, Approval Process for Central Services Determination. 10, Explanation on the Stream for Tonight's Executive Session, 3 minutes. 11, Committee will go into executive session to consider financial considerations, personnel, and contractual items with the Executive Director, Stephanie Wells, regarding several stations in deficit positions and steps needing to be implemented. 12, motion to move to closed portion of the meeting at a time certain of 9:35 p.m. Eastern. 2 minutes. I don't know how that would work. Anyway, that's my, that's an amendment, and it is, of course, a substitute motion, which means we can now go back for the moment to Myla's amendment.
What, point of order, Madam Chair. I would like to object to the derogatory language used by the secretary in saying that the chair has barged forward. I think that's inappropriate.
Thank you. So noted.
Madam Chair, I rise to a point of personal privilege since I have been noted here, and I will simply say the chair has indeed barged forward.
I was only trying to not have it be a deal. That's what I meant by so noted, okay? I'm not getting in on this at all.
Well, it's a point of order, so...
Go ahead.
So if you're going to make a ruling on it... She says it's a point of order. You want to make a ruling on the point of order? Go ahead, and it may get appealed.
I am... Paul, I know you've had many years of Robert's Rules of Order, and I'm trying to keep up as best I can and study weekly. But did I say something that, in fact, did not say, Susan, I hear you, let's move on? Did I not do that? Would you tell me how to say that in Robert's Rules?
Well, she says it's a point of order, so... Unless she wants to say it's not a point of order, in which case we just say it's a comment, we won't even put it in the minutes, and at which point I will simply say, as a point of personal privilege, it was not derogatory. It was, in my mind, descriptive. That's not part of the agenda, and you did it. But let's go on. If you want to say it's not a point of order, then we could just continue.
Point of personal privilege, I will withdraw it as a point of order.
Okay.
But I want to say that this argumentative stuff that you are doing, R. Paul, is offensive, time-wasting, and unhelpful. You are arguing with the chair constantly. And that's a point of personal privilege that I am stating.
Well, I'll have a point of personal privilege back that says one gets to disagree with anyone, including the chair.
Thank you both for your points of personal privilege. I appreciate your willingness to move on. R. Paul, about your, now I'm just going to ask, you made your substitute motion, is that what you called it?
Yes.
It's
basically an amendment, but since it's so big, it's a substitute for the main motion. And
That
holds on for a minute, because first we have to deal with Myla's amendment.
Yes.
And we deal with that, then we go to the substitute.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, point of order?
Oh.
Okay, or point of information?
Okay.
I wish to oppose the substitute motion, but I wish to support Myla's amendment. So, R. Paul, what is the sequence for that?
As I said, at this point, since I've made the substitute motion, we go back to the main motion, which Myla has proposed an amendment to, and we deal with that.
Okay, but your substitute motion does not include Myla's amendment.
Well, then if it passes, then she can make that amendment again and we'll plug it in.
Boy, I can't, is this arduous.
I support
Myla's motion to amend.
All right, we have someone speaking for. Is there anyone opposed to Myla's motion to give Stephanie 15 minutes in the open session? Hearing no objections, that in the original agenda passes. R. Paul, I will ask you to in order to slow down the arguing, what you're saying comes next. Now it is time for us to vote on the substitute motion.
Well, let me say, we get to debate that. Let me say fast that we always need to have the agenda approved, and it is, whether you want to call it barging or some other word, or preempting or something, to have what are referred to as preliminaries being on there, it messes things up. And that's basically what we're into now. I'm very glad we're using cardinal numbers for stuff. That's a good change. But, you know, to have stuff about a report out, identify timekeepers and stuff like that, and then to set a time limit for setting the agenda, none of that would be in order. Since it's already done, it's done. We can't undo it. But, you know, for instance, if you wanted to have agenda approval be some set amount of time, that would require a special rule, which is a motion that's more complicated. It's like that for a reason. What I'm proposing here is just to sort of keep things orderly and democratic so that the committee determines its own agenda and not one person determining the agenda. That's it. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I would like to speak against the substitute motion. And I would like to suggest that in open debate and free speech, that this is a bunch of baloney.
Oh.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you.
I'm glad that wasn't derogatory.
Thank you, R. Paul.
You set the standard, R. Paul.
Okay. Both of you.
Oh, my God.
You know, order breaks down.
Long-time directors, I add
orders at the table.
I call on you to have a little tougher skin. I will say, okay, so Susan speaks against this. R. Paul is speaking for it. We are very close to getting as mucked up in agenda items as we did last meeting. And I believe I made a comment about that in writing. So I am, unless anybody totally needs to be either for or against, I'm going to ask that we now have a vote on the main, can we accept the main agenda with its imperfections, which get worked on week by week, or do we have to rewrite the agenda? And I understand you may think of that as editorial, R. Paul. Do we have to rewrite the agenda for this meeting? Do we think, so the agenda as it stands is, how do I do a comparative vote, R. Paul?
Point of order,
Madam
Chair.
Oh, we just vote on, ask if there's any objection.
There's an objection. So we vote on R. Paul's amendment.
Yeah. Are you ready to vote, Madam Chair?
Because it's the substitute?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. The motion is to adopt the substitute motion, which is an agenda. Please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo.
Yes.
Lyndon Foley.
I abstain.
Kamau Harris.
Yes.
Christina Huggins. R. Paul Martin, yes. Stephen Meeks.
Yes.
I couldn't hear that. There's some noise in the line.
Yes.
Yes. Darlene Pagano.
We're voting on your amendment, correct?
Yes.
You jumped into that a little quick. No.
That's a no. Myla Reason. Mile of reason?
Sorry. Pass.
Pass. Minerva Sanders?
I'm going to abstain.
Susan Young?
No.
Going back to people.
It's Otis. You want to go on the stream? You're not in executive session, right?
Right. We're not on executive session. Okay. I think that let me make a fast note that we're okay. Thank you, Otis. Yes, here we are. Let me pause this for a second and note we're on the stream.
Yes.
Okay.
This is
so we're on the stream at this point.
And at National Fire Committee office meeting, we are in open session. We are on the agenda item of approving of the agenda. We apologize that this public stream is on the air late, but the complete recording will be on our page at KPFTS. Thank you. R. Paul?
Okay. We are in the midst of a roll call vote, and I'm calling the people who have not answered up or who have passed. Christina Huggins? No reply. Myla Reason?
No.
Minerva Sanders?
No. I did abstain, but I'm changing it to a no.
Oh, let me see. Okay. Let me take that and change that. Okay, 4-4, 4 against, 2 abstentions.
Well, you let me vote, and I'm the chair, so...
Wait a minute, what?
You asked for my vote, and I'm the chair, so you. We have a 4-4, which means it doesn't pass.
Right.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Thank you, R. Paul. So we will go on with the agenda as I hope everybody has it in front of them. So do we still have to pass the original agenda now?
Yeah.
All right. The original agenda, which I hope is in front of you, do we have at 30 minutes after starting... Do we have any objection to using the agenda as it's presented? Hearing no objection, I am declaring that we have accepted for this meeting this agenda. And I will be getting in touch with you, R. Paul, but you've got to respond to me when I try to get in touch with you.
I tend to do that.
Okay, item 7, we have open session minutes of May 14th that R. Paul sent to us. Is there any objection at this time, noting that we can take changes after the fact? Are there any objections to accepting the open session minutes of May 14th?
And I'll make the motion that we do so.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the minutes, but I also move to amend the minutes. The second motion that I put forward, we changed the report rather than to the PNB is to the NFT. So would the Secretary be kind to make that change? Or
no.
Is there...
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam
yes,
Chair? May I point out that the second motion does, in fact, say report to the NFC, and that is in the minutes.
Okay. No objection, then.
Okay.
All right. Susan has made the motion to accept the minutes of May 14th. Any objections to that?
Actually, I made the motion.
I didn't hear you, R. Paul, or follow, but okay.
Okay, so it's passed without objection, is it?
It is, unless you were making an objection.
No,
yes, it does.
No.
Okay,
no.
There you go. We've got it. All right. And now, finally, center stage, we have Stephanie Wells for at least the next 15 minutes. Stephanie, can you come on and do your open report?
Yes. An ED report was sent, unfortunately, late, so I apologize for that, but it has been sent to the chair and the secretary for distribution to the committee. As of today, the payables that we have are approximately $1.4 million. They are listed by vendor detail in the executive director report, including any sort of notes on the side that add some explanation as well. As far as the loans that we have outstanding, the Small Business Administration Economic Injury Disaster Loan, although it has been transferred to the U.S. Treasury Department for collections, I was able to contact the office on Friday of last week and talk with multiple departments within the SBA, and they did inform us that we may qualify for the SBA Hardship Accommodation Plan Program, which would possibly reduce our payments to just 10% of the amount due per month or $25, whatever one they decide to do, 10%. Our monthly payments at this point is $8,731, but we are in default on that. I have not been able to log into the SBA portal because they still have yet to remove my name. I removed the former executive director's name from the loan. And so, again, I spoke with someone that is in the office, and they're working on trying to get that done. And I'm scheduled to talk to them tomorrow, actually, to verify my identity so we can switch those names over. And in the meantime, I did apply, request that they send me the hardship accommodation plan application so we can see if we work for that. So once we get all of that paperwork done, then we will be able to, it'll be much easier to remove the lien that is on the Los Angeles building. The FJC had a meeting with them also last week, and they are revising the terms of the loan, and the lien is going to be removed within the next few weeks, and they are removing the substantial penalties that we had regarding that. So we are moving forward and getting those liens removed from the building because we are still working on it. The close of escrow for the building has been extended to early July. I don't have the exact date yet. We're still waiting for that paperwork to be processed, and I should be signing that within the next few hours. The total amount of the loans that we have right now, roughly $2.5 million for the FJC loan, if we were to pay it off, and the SBA EIDL, roughly about $2.7 million. But again, both of those we're working right now to remove some of that extra interest. We are working at the national office on the budgets for fiscal, we're starting the process of working on the budgets for fiscal year 25. We are currently working on the WPFW budget and the KPFK budget, and we are prioritizing the KPFK budget right now just because that one had been accepted by the National Finance Committee earlier, and they do have an LSB meeting that is coming up on June 9th, and we wanted to make sure that the budget will be ready for review during that time. So that we started working on that budget late last week, and we should have a draft to the general manager and the treasurer within the next 24 to 48 hours. And then at the same time, we'll be working on the WPFW budget, and we'll do the same thing with forwarding it, and then we'll just make our way through the stations and the divisions. As far as an update with WBAI, as per discussed at the last NFC meeting, the reductions that were recommended by the general manager will begin on June 1st, and those include a reduction of some paid programming staff, the reduction of a marketing consultant, and it was recommended to lose constant contact, but I'm working to not have that done, actually, because we don't want to lose that mailing list, and the national office has a constant contact account that we put on hold until an election comes around, and then we restate it for the election. So we're looking to move the constant contact account out from WBAI so they wouldn't have to pay for that, and move it over to the national office. We can create different accounts within one constant contact account, so we wouldn't have access to the mailing list of WBAI unless we requested, you know, permission from the general manager to do so, but it would help us save a substantial amount of money if we have one constant contact account for all the stations. So we're looking to do that because, again, we don't want to lose that mailing list.
It was also recommended by the general manager to lose some of the weekend board operators. But as I said, even at the last meeting, we really don't want to do that because that would involve doing no live shows over the weekends. And in conversations with the general manager and also just with our engineers and John Amella in particular, we just don't think that that is going to work, and it would be somewhat problematic, and we're not too sure that WBII has the ability to not do live shows over the weekend. So even though the reductions that have been recommended to take place are really not enough at this point to make a significant dent in the amount of revenue that is being lost per month, we are going to closely review on a weekly basis to make sure that we don't continue to just go down greater into a deficit. But WBAI was able to make payroll this week, and they were also, we've also been able to pay the second installment of the FCC fine, as well as paying our FCC attorneys. Does anybody have any questions?
This is Myla. I have a question.
Paul, I have you for the stack. Go ahead, Myla.
Thank you. Thanks, Stephanie. I'm looking at this table of payables as of today, and I'm wondering, some of the payables in the notes are attributed to various stations, specific stations, and others are not. And I am wondering, which of the here's a question, specific question. In the case of Ziri Rideau versus Pacifica, I'm wondering how many or how much money here is attributable to that lawsuit. Do any of these amounts in your payables table reflect legal costs associated with that lawsuit?
I do not have
Bill. Point of order, Madam Chair. I'm wondering if this is something that should be discussed in executive session, as it's a legal matter.
I put that to you, Stephanie.
I don't have detailed breakdowns of some of the legal expenses.
All right. Thank you. That takes care of it. I have R. Paul on the stack.
Okay. Yes, I'm glad. First of all, I'm glad to hear that people are understanding that not having any live programs for the entire weekend could be a problem at BAI, but also there is a chronic issue of the computer that runs the pre-recorded programs screwing up, and we could end up with, if nobody's there and it screws up, you could have dead air for a long time till somebody gets there. But I want to register a protest, because you mentioned the FCC fine, and I suppose we've paid the first fifth of it. And I want to protest the fact that there were individuals named and programs named in that consent agreement, and those people were not given any due process. I know that one of the parties involved in that is saying that the entire big claim against them is largely based on somebody who has a personal dislike of the people who do the program, and that the claims made by that person are totally without foundation, and none of that gets reflected in the consent agreement. So I really want to say, you know, people, if people are going to be accused of things and there's going to be a consent saying, oh yeah, we're guilty, I wish people would be able to get due process in this, as has not happened in this case. Thank you.
Well, that's a good point. You can add me? Hello?
Hold on. Are you done, Art? Our Paul, you finished?
Yes, Stephanie, I said thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. Stephanie, is there anything to be said in open session about that?
We are following the results of the investigation as done by the FCC.
Thank
you. Exactly.
Okay. Was there someone who didn't identify themselves who wanted to be on the staff?
Paul.
Okay.
The other Paul. Yeah.
Enzo, go right ahead.
Thank you. Okay, so I dumb question. How does deficit spending work? I mean, how can – it seems like they've been deficit spending for a long time. Don't – if I deficit spend, I run out of money pretty quick. I can't go to a $100 dinner, even though I'd love to every night in New York. Can't do it. Go into deficit spending, go broke, wind up getting thrown out in the street. How does it work with us so we can continue doing it for so long?
Well, what happens is that there may be a month that there was extra money that was raised or came in. You know, so for example, in April of this past month, the WBAI $134,000 was brought in, but the expenses were $138,000. So it was a deficit spending of $4,394. But in March, the revenue was $62,000, the expenses were $52,007. So there was a revenue of $9,319. But yet in February, there was a deficit of $27,000. But the month before, there was a revenue of $8,000. So what happens is, just sort of looking at it on a monthly basis, there are some months that revenue is coming in. There are other months that it's not. So then what happens is that there's money when we're trying to get caught up on certain bills. We may have, you know, we have to use money that was raised from the month prior, which is fine, to pay off bills. But as more and more bills are getting larger that are past due, we then have to pay off a higher amount, or, you know, it's like, oh, there's extra money, let's go ahead and pay, you know, for example, the tower. We are able to put a significant payment for the tower, but now we don't have the money to pay, you know, up for the tower until there's another fund drive or there's money that is coming through in the bank account. So it's deficit spending to the extent that the expenses that are for that month are greater than the revenue that was coming in, but we are relying on some of the other months where there was a positive cash flow to help carry over some of those months. But what happens is that there's a set amount of expenses with payroll and health benefits, tower rent and building rent, utilities, there's health benefits. So there's a lot of these expenses that are there, but if there isn't enough money to cover some of those set expenses that are due every month and the priority is on payroll and health benefits, then we start getting further and further behind.
Right. So it gets to a point where you're juggling too many balls. Now, I guess I read somewhere that some outside agency said that Pacifica has certain problems, like it might not be a going concern or something like that. Was that true and accurate? I haven't heard much about that.
That Pacifica is not a going concern, in what way?
Yeah.
That
it was ruled that, yeah, some agency said that.
Our auditor.
Yeah.
Yes. And that letter from the auditor has said that for several years running. I think it's at least 4 years running. So it is the audit, the independent outside audit, that says so.
Okay, great.
Correct.
All right, and one,
correct.
I just
and all
last
of
question.
Those are on Pacifica.org, and that's why as we move forward, we've had audited financial statements that have, you know, that have said there are concerns, and there's concerns with certain divisions that aren't pulling their weight. They don't say it that way. You know, for the foundation as a whole. So as we move forward with the audits for 2024, not this next year, not this last year that we need to do, but the other year, the next year as we're moving forward, we are required to do audits now for every division. That includes the archives, that includes the affiliates. So we're more than just five stations. We are also then three divisions. In addition to that, the National Office, the archives, and the affiliates. So we will have individual audited statements for each of those divisions, which will then allow us to actually take an even closer look, and this is a requirement of the CPB, if we want to continue to move forward to be in compliance with them to try to get funding down the road, is that it'll be easier for them at that point to take a look at each individual individual audited financial statement for each individual division rather than looking and then looking at it as a whole of the Pacifica Foundation. So one of the things, too, as far as operating in a deficit is that the national office in many instances cover the expenses for the stations or divisions that are not pulling their own weight. So if people don't have the funds, if you've had a negative, you know, month of February where WBAI was $27,202 in the negative, then the national office kicks it into gear and we help cover the cost of payroll and cover the cost of health benefits and some of those.
But the other month where we're $8,000 ahead, that money might go to cover another station that like KFK.
No, the only time any money is ever used, I don't know how it's been done in the past. So historically, cause you know, a lot of people are very, many people are working off of what's happened historically in the past. But since I have been here, I have never taken money from one station to help cover the cost of another station's bills without first talking to both general managers and or if they have an accountant or a business manager on site. The money does not freely flow from one station or division to another station or division without having a conversation first with all parties involved.
All right, cool.
Chair, I have a question.
What name
Lyndon
is that?
Lyndon for the stack.
Thank
Susan.
You, Lyndon.
Susan.
That was okay, Susan, you're next.
Yes. Has I know that KPFT has loaned money. Has WBAI loaned money to anyone over the past year?
No.
Are you done, Susan?
Yep, I'm done.
Thank you. Lyndon, go ahead.
Thank you. As to deficit spending, I think Stephanie there at the end of her answer hit on a couple of the of the pertinent facts that payroll has not been met and healthcare has not been met and things like that are covered by the national office when the national office had the money. Now, you know, there's stations who haven't paid their central services, and central services goes to pay some of those things like the auditors. And when you don't pay your central services, you are in deficit. And another sign of deficit in how it has been allowed to get out of hand is the tower rent at $17,500 a month, which I was going to ask, has that been paid this last month? Have we made any more catch-ups on that, and not paying the call center. I can't remember what that number was. It was very high. And then not paying the rent for your place of business, the studio. And as I understand it, the people wanted to sell, so they had to absolve y'all of your past non-payments. They had to absolve y'all. So they could get the sale made. And
isn't
if you want to see other, please don't interrupt me. If you want to see other,
but it's like making that be such
you,
a negative.
If you want to see, if
and
you
it
want
isn't
to
negative
see,
at all.
But somebody,
whoa,
point of
whoa,
order,
whoa, whoa,
point of order.
I'm sorry,
it's
yes,
not negative at all. It's a positive thing. We're rooted in our community.
Point of order.
Paul DiRienzo, you don't.
My point
to
made. I'm quiet. I made my point. I made my point.
Well,
yeah, you sure did. Now, also, if you want to see deficit, look at the loan that we have from FJC. That was where our deficit spending went. Look at the loan from EIDL. That's where our deficit spending went. And then the PPP loans, which thank goodness were all forgiven. So all of that is how deficit spending, you know, you have somebody has a rich uncle. That's why they get away with deficit spending. Now, Stephanie, has any more catch-up been made on the call center or the tower?
No, it has not. Tower, $50,000 was paid to the tower in March, there have not been funds to pay for the towers, any payments to the towers since then, and the bill is now back up to about $111,000.
Okay, so that's more deficit spending April and May, both. That's another $35,000 of debt.
Correct. The call center is approximately $102,000 that is owed. And rather than continuing to provide the services without payments being made, the call center discontinued their service. And that, again, was $102,000. And they just wanted to stop incurring those fees every month.
Thank
you. And the rent for the building is approximately owed at this point $10,600.
Myla,
okay,
excuse
me, Madam Chair. This is Minerva.
Right.
We've got about 35 seconds left. And it's
I will make a motion that we extend for 5 more minutes. Is there any objection to 5 more minutes for this open session?
Would you please, okay, the motion is to extend for how long? There's a lot of noise on this line.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay, thank you.
Is there any objection to 5 minute extension? Hearing none, we will extend for 5 minutes. Thank you very much, Minerva. Is there anyone else on the stack?
Myla, for the stack, I don't know if you heard me before.
Okay, Myla, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question about the Radio Research Consortium. There are past due bills for KPFK, WBAI, and WPFW. And I'm wondering, are we still getting information from the Radio Research Consortium? And who has access to the research provided to Pacifica from that consortium?
That service has been discontinued, and we are not getting information.
So where is the past information that they provided? When was the service discontinued?
Prior to me starting. I'm not too sure where. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's an aged payable.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Stephanie at this point? Stephanie, anything you want to wrap up with?
No, thanks.
Okay. Then, thank you very much, Stephanie, and I'm glad you're going to stick around for the next session. And at this point, we are on the next item on the agenda, which is a motion. And I believe that this motion is presented before the work on it was done. So I will be happy to withdraw it. But this motion was that the NFC will give the stations and the LSB finance committees that exist a standard timeline. By standard, I mean it's the same for everybody, a standard timeline for completion of the 2025 budget so that the NFC can review those budgets by the meetings of September 9th and September 23rd. So that means we are going to have to, work backwards from that if we pass this motion, which it says that by the end of September, all of the budgets will have been presented to the NFC and we will have reviewed them by the end of September. Is there anyone who wants to speak about this motion?
R. Paul for stat.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. The original timeline was put out last year, and it projected starting a couple of last month at least.
Yep.
All right,
yep.
A couple of things on this to keep things kind of the way they usually look. I would like to amend it to make it, instead of completion of 2025 budgets, make it completion of FY25 budgets. And I removed one of the Septembers because you had September repeated twice there. And I will note that for the minutes, I will write out the full word September. Okay? Those are what I suggest we do. And if everybody thinks it's okay, we don't have to have a formal amendment. But there we go. That's what I suggest.
I agree with your changes there. ARPAL, is anyone else objecting to ARPAL's suggestion? With that said, ARPAL, it looks like your suggestions are accepted. On the motion itself, does anyone need to speak? Want to speak? Is that Myla?
Yes.
Go ahead, Myla.
I think that the motion is fine. However, I think that the table needs some amending.
Yes, it certainly does.
The actual timeline.
Yes, it certainly does. And now I am vague on whether I put that in the closed session, or not that I would actually remember exactly why. No, I didn't put it in the closed session either. So I would say we're going to have to start doing some homework, if I can use such a lighthearted term, homework in between meetings for this committee, and that be one of them, that be one that happens very quickly, which is, what advice can we give to the stations and the LSB finance committees, and for that matter, the executive director. So that's what I would say in response to your point, Myla.
I'm sorry. I actually, there's one other thing that I noticed, and that is that the motion says that the NFC will give stations and local finance committees, but not all local station boards actually have finance committees. So,
when I read it, if they have them, I think I will ask our Paul to add that in there for me.
Well, instead of if they have them, I have a suggestion.
Go ahead.
And that would be the NFC will give stations and local station boards a standard timeline. And it will be then up to the local station boards whether or not to pass those along to the finance committees, if they have them.
I would like us to make sure we give them that, not ask.
So add, in which case you would add the NFC.
Existing LSB finance committee.
Well, I would add local station boards.
What?
I would say the NFCs will give stations, local station boards, and if you wish, local station board finance committees. Because the timeline should go to the boards, the local station boards, as well.
Fine. I don't have any objection to that. Does anyone else?
Okay. This has enough stuff. This is an amendment here. So let me read what I think I have. Okay. As it says now, it starts, the NFC will give stations and LSB finance committees. And the amendment is to change it to the NFC will give stations, comma, LSBs, and local finance committees. That would be it.
that wording up, Myla?
Sounds good.
Thank you. Our Paul, would you be willing to make that upgrade there?
Yeah, well, if we pass this amendment, yes.
Yes. We have made that. We are holding that change to the motion, folks. Is there anyone else who wants to speak to the presentation of this motion? Hearing none. R. Paul, would you read it one more time as written? As
okay.
You have
let me paste it here. And second. Okay, the motion as amended is the NFC will give stations, LSBs, and local finance committees a standard timeline for completion of the FY25 budgets so that the NFC, another article, the NFC can review them maybe.
I would say, excuse me.
Myla, hold on, let him read it.
May I suggest that rather than them, that you say said budgets.
Said budgets, okay. So that the NFC can review said budgets by its meetings of September 9th, 2024, and September 23rd, 2024.
Does
anybody need
it
reread?
Martin, is there any objection to this motion going forward? All right. Then that motion passes, and I take it upon myself to start the discussion between meetings by our email platform on agreement on what the details of that timeline will look like for the stations. Thank you all. The next item is to schedule for upcoming NFC agendas, in what order, and are they really needed, these next four items of business. I'm not calling them old business. Perhaps that's an error on my part, but I'm interested in what people think is most important, what needs to come up first, and these will be added to upcoming NFC agendas. And those are reviewing the national office budget, which is going to be still the 2024 budget, of which we are in, I think, the seventh month of right now, might be more. And that's one thing. Two, accounting agreements across all stations. What I'm talking about there is the chart of accounts, especially for income, that I understand from getting a reading and getting reports back on how central services was reviewed by the previous committee, that one of the problems is that different stations call different the same income stream different names, and it was making it very hard to fairly quantify across the stations what the income was for the stations and what income was to be used for the central services review and what not. That's what B means. C, the central services review, reviewing what is on the books from the previous committee and what feedback and, let's admit it, pushback that was given by the stations, and to see if we feel that fairness and accuracy and appropriate funding levels of the national office were taken into account. That's C. And then D is an approval process for the central services determination, whether that is something that has been adjusted by this committee within this fiscal year, or we are, in fact, giving our approval of the central services determination from 2023, the 2023 working group committee. So anybody want to say, and Stephanie, you know what? I'd like your opinion on these things as well, so you can get on the stack. If there's any change of order or change of the process, I mean, is the national office budget kind of a lost cause at this point, and we should be looking forward to the 2025 budget, or, you know, that's just an example. So I open this up for whatever people need to comment on this item. Just let me know if you want to be on the stack. Well,
Myla,
okay. Yes, Myla.
Oh, thank you. I just would like to say that I definitely think that we need to revisit approval process for central services determination. That's item D. I think that the National Finance Committee needs to revisit the formula and the process. And I think that it would be helpful also to look at C, and perhaps C and D can be accomplished in tandem. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Arpal?
Go ahead, Arpal.
Okay. Well, there's a year's worth of work right there. Let me just say, approval of central services determination. Yes, we did that in FY23, and we started it like many months earlier. It took a long time to come up with that. Then we came up with it, and now people want to change it again. But I will point out that that is related to very closely to A. One of the issues we have is we need to have a national office budget. In order to have the national office budget, we need to have the budgets of the stations, because their central services are supposed to fund it. However, we don't know what the national office needs. And so until we get the national office budget, we can't tell what the central services need to be to fund it. So you got a little bit of a circular thing there, and that has tripped the NFC up somewhat in the past, and so I'm just putting a little something out there. It is not an easy thing necessarily. As for the chart of accounts, we, as I remember, we got a new one from NETA, and we had had one or two prior to that we were supposed to be using. However, different stations apparently are using different charts of accounts. It is possible that we could just say, hey, everybody, here's a chart of accounts we have and has been approved by the PNB at some point. Use this, period. And maybe that would work out. Anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me just say that this is also going to be on the working between actual meetings. Because as our Paul said, if you leave it to, well, I'm paraphrasing our Paul, if you leave it to open business at the meetings, it's a very catch-as-catch-can process and takes a long time. So that is my promotion of this motion. Well, it's not a motion. That is my statement about why this is here. Let me, if I may, put Stephanie on the spot. Stephanie, was there a national office budget in 2024? And if not, at what point do you think there will be a 2025 national office budget so we can, as ARPAL stated, always be working towards the goal of what does the national office need?
Yes, there was one that had been created actually in September of 2023, but nothing was really ever, you know, and it was submitted to the National Finance Committee, but at that point, we still didn't quite know, again, what central services were going to be. So I can easily, I mean, I can just revise that based upon the year-end actuals and, you know, provide that. So
just so we have a target, I would like to talk to you about doing that.
Okay.
Understanding that this is going to be one of the fastest moving targets we'll have in the whole National Finance Committee workload. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you. Anyone else see anything
come on
that we could give up or change around? What name was that, please?
Kamal. Who was that?
Kamal, thank you. Kamal, please go ahead.
I have a quick question with regards to the accounting agreement across all stations. I'm not sure, well, how many stations and affiliates actually post to the general ledger? Why is it important that each of the stations and affiliates are familiar with the general ledger if no one's posting to the general ledger? It's only the national office, or am I missing something there?
We do have at least one station where the national office, and I think it's at least two actually, where the national business manager does not handle their station. So there's that. And in my checking in with people who are on the business end of their stations, let's just put it this way, the definition of what goes in each number of the chart of accounts on income seems to be open widely to interpretation. So, and some of that interpretation is based on what the NFC in its central services review of the year past, or years past at this point, was basing it on. So money could jump from an account to a different account based on whether it was or was not going to be put into play for a central services determination. I hope I'm saying that non-judgmentally enough for everyone, but that it is the interpretation of what gets posted to that account that seems to be dancing around. So what we will be doing, the accounting agreement is, in other words, a set of definitions of what will go in each account.
Okay, if I may, just a quick follow-up.
Go ahead.
So, right, so I think I was trying to get an answer of who uses the general ledger. So you're saying there are two stations that use the general ledger and don't send their information directly to the national office to post in the general ledger? Is that how you?
They have their own general ledger, not the general ledger. They do have to give that information to Markeisha. Stephanie, if you could explain it, but it's totaled. It's not, my understanding is it's not line by line. Can you correct me on that, Stephanie?
Correct. And you can kind of, when you look at the consolidated financials in general, you can see that there may be a station that has all listener support. And that means that the income that was put into the general ledger was only listed as listener support. It wasn't broken down as to whether it was our donations, grants, major donors. It's just listed as one solid thing with listener support. And that's where we, you know, kind of have questions then when we were talking about central services, because we're saying, well, it should only be listener support. Others have said it should be everything. Some have said no grants. Some have said no major donors, but we don't have a definition of what a major donor is or when a person becomes a major donor. So if they start out as listener support and then reach a major donor threshold, and what is that threshold, then we don't take central services from them because now they've moved into the major donor line. You know, so there needs to be a definition as to what each of those means and how money can be coded accordingly. And then I'm a true believer is that we look at things on a case-by-case basis, particularly when it comes from an individual major donor and when it comes from a grant, or what are the stipulations of that. And then we can determine whether that can be with central, you know, charged with central services or not. It's, you know, not like we're receiving, unfortunately, millions of dollars of, you know, donations per day, and it would just be too overwhelming to take a look at these on a case-by-case basis. But we also can't just get a gift that's coming from a donor and then all of a sudden call it a grant, so it won't be considered for central services.
Right. So are you getting then, Stephanie or Markeisha, you all are getting like supporting schedules from stations that support the total listener or any other revenue stream, or is it just a one-liner you're getting and that's how it's being reported on our financial statements?
Sometimes it's just a one-liner and that's how it's getting recorded. And sometimes it may be because, oh, we didn't have time to specify, or we were kind of behind in logging everything. So then the consolidated financials come out and then they come back and say, oh, well, let's fix it. Well, anytime that there's changes, then we have to go back in and make those changes. It may not be a dollar amount change, but then everything needs to be recoded for that one division in order to break it down according to the GL code for, you know, revenue or expenses. And then that affects the consolidated financials that have been done or were done, and then they need to be redone. So even now, the consolidated financials for this next quarter should be hitting my inbox within the next probably hour or two. But there are changes that were submitted for the consolidated financials for the first quarter that we just got. And so it's like, okay, now that's going to trickle down and we're going to have to make changes to the consolidated financials for the second quarter that were already done. But now, because there were changes made to the first quarter, that's going to affect the layout and how it looks in the second quarter.
Do we put any rules on ourselves in terms of timing on these kind of changes? I mean, do we impose any kind of restrictions on how long it takes or how long before you can close the books for good? Or can you always go back?
Yeah, once the books are closed, the books are closed, you know, but that still doesn't always stop somebody from providing information that's, you know, too many months too late.
Okay. Madam Chair, the 15 minutes allocated has been used.
All right. I had wanted to, that was the item on support for the NFC, and I had wanted to hear what you thought that work outline, and if there are no other folks wanting to be on stack, we can move on from this item. I asked that question, is this done, or do we need to add on more time? Hearing no other answers, I will say thank you, Minerva. We are done with this item. Appreciate it. All right. Coming to a close, pretty much 25 minutes late. I am giving an explanation for the reason for why the NFC is going into executive session. And that is that the committee will go into an executive session to consider financial considerations, personnel, and contractual items with the executive director, Stephanie Wells, regarding several stations in deficit positions and steps needed to be implemented. With that said, I'm going to, I'm going to cut the streaming and we will move.
Is somebody going to make the motion that's supposed to get made now?
Madam Chair, Susan,
the motion
Susan,
to move.
I move to go into executive session.
All right, and this will be at time, the time will be 10 p.m. Eastern.